Book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. Again, this is the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. A reading from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 34, beginning in verse 1. Hear now these words. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of his ancestor David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still a boy, he began to seek the God of his ancestor David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the sacred pose, and the carve and cast images. In his presence they pulled down the altars of the Baals. He demolished the incense altars that stood above them. He broke down the sacred pose and the carve and the cast images. He made dust of them and scattered over the graves of those who sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars, and purged Judah and Jerusalem, and the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, and as far as Naphtali, and the ruins all around. He broke down the altars, beat the sacred poles, and the images into powder, and demolished all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel. Then he returned to Jerusalem. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shammah, the son of Azar, Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joab, son of Joaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. They came to the high priest Hilkiah and delivered the money which had been brought to the house of God, which the Levites, the keepers, and the threshold had collected from Manasseh and Ephraim, and all the remnant of Israel from all Judah and Benjamin, and from the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They delivered to the workers who had oversight of the house of the Lord. And the workers who were working in the house of the Lord gave for repairing, restoring the house. They gave to the carpenters for the builders to buy quarry stone, and timber for binders, and beams for the building that the kings of Judah let go to ruin. The people did the work faithfully. Over them were appointed the Levites, Jahath, and Obadiah, the son of Merai, along with Zechariah and Meshullam, the son of the Kohathites, to have oversight. Other Levites, all skillful with instruments and music, were over the burden bearers and directed all who did work in every kind of service. And some of the Levites were scribes and officials and gatekeepers. While they were bringing out the money they had been brought to the house of the Lord, the priest Hilkiah found the book of the law of the Lord given through Moses. Hilkiah said to the secretary Shaphan, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Shaphan brought the book to the king and fed the report to the king. "All that was committed to your servants they are doing. They emptied out the money that was found in the house of the Lord and delivered it to the hands of overseers and workers." The secretary Shaphan informed the king, "The priest Hilkiah has given me a book." Shaphan then read it aloud to the king. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahim, son of Ephlam, Abdon, son of Micah, the secretary Shaphan, and king's servant Azar, "Go, inquire of the Lord for me, and for those who are left in Israel and Judah, concerning the words of the book that has been found. For the wrath of the Lord is poured out on us is great, because our ancestors did not keep the word of the Lord, to act in accordance with all that's written in this book." So Hilkiah and those whom the king had sent went to the prophet Huldah, the wife of Shalem, son of Zochiah, son of Tokath, son of Hazor, keeper of the wardrobe, who lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and spoke to her that effect. She declared to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, I will indeed bring disaster upon this place, upon its inhabitants. All the curses are written in the book that was read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and made offerings to their gods, so that they have provoked me to anger with all the works of their hands. My wrath will be poured out on this place, will not be quenched." But as to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you shall say to him, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was repentant, and you humbled yourself before God when you heard these words against this place and its inhabitants, and you have humbled yourself before me, and have torn your clothes and went before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. I will gather you to your ancestors, and you shall be gathered to the grave in peace. Your eyes shall not see all the disaster I will bring upon this place and its inhabitants. They took the message back to the king. Then the king sent word and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, all the people, both the great and small. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. The king stood in the place and made a covenant for the Lord to follow the Lord, keeping his commandments, his decrees, and his statutes, with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book. Then he made all here present in Jerusalem and in Benjamin pledge themselves to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem acted according to the covenant of God, the God of their ancestors. Josiah took away all the abominations from all territory that belonged to the people of Israel, and made all who were in Israel worship the Lord their God. All his days did not turn away from following the Lord their God of their ancestors. My friends, the word of God, the people of God, thanks be to God. Now, last time I spoke to you, I was talking about a guy named King Hezekiah. You know? And as we are again towards the end of the summer and fall season, and it'll be just here in a few weeks, it will be time to talk about Reformation Sunday and All Saints Sunday, and then next thing we know it'll be Thanksgiving, and it'll be the first day of Advent. And so we're also getting to the end of the kingdom of Judah. And when I last spoke to you, I spoke to you about Hezekiah, and I've jumped ahead this morning to Josiah because I thought that was appropriate for a youth Sunday. So let me explain very quick what's happened in the meantime. Hezekiah was a great king, a godly king, but he was not perfect. And that's a theme you see in the book of Judges and Kings and Chronicles, that even the best of the best had their flaws. And so at one point, King Hezekiah became very ill. The prophet Isaiah came to him and said, Get your house in order, for you shall die and shall not live. And he left. Hezekiah fell on his knees and prayed with tears in his eyes. And while he was still praying, the prophet Isaiah walked back to him and said, The Lord has heard your prayer. He's going to give you 13 more years. Look to the sundial, and God's going to move the shadow backwards as a sign he will restore you to health. Well, here's where Hezekiah was kind of rash and not very thoughtful. Soon afterwards, a envoy from Babylon showed up with some get well cards and get well balloons. King Hezekiah, we heard you weren't feeling well. We came here to check in on you. And Hezekiah took him on a tour and showed them all the gold and silver in his palace and in Jerusalem. And they left. The prophet Isaiah came in and said, Who were those men, king? Oh, they were some visitors from Babylon, envoy. What did you show them? Oh, I showed them all the gold and silver. Oh, king, you have made a terrible mistake. The day will come when those Babylonians will return, and they will carry out all that gold and silver. And Hezekiah thought, well, at least it won't happen in my lifetime. And so you see somebody who wasn't thinking long term. He made a very rash decision. Well, Hezekiah dies, and you have a guy by the name of King Manasseh. And King Manasseh was just evil. Kings, because the king tells it, that he filled Jerusalem from one end to other with innocent blood. He committed child sacrifice. He did what was evil before the Lord. Verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 33 says, But the Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people. They gave no heed. Therefore the Lord brought them, the commanders of the army of the king of Syria, who took Manasseh captive, in manacles, in other words, they handcuffed him, bound with fetters, and brought him to Babylon. While he was in distress, he humbled himself. He entreated the favor of the Lord, his God, He humbled himself to great before the God of his ancestors. He prayed to him, and God received his entreaty, heard his plea, and restored him again to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord indeed was God. So here we got Josiah's grandfather, Manasseh, and he starts off terrible. This is a cruel, vicious king, committing child sacrifice. He gets captured, thrown in a dungeon, but then he humbles himself, and God, in his mercy, restores him back to the throne of Judah. Well, then he dies. So Josiah's father takes over, a guy by the name Amnon. And it says, he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. Amnon sacrificed all the images his father Manasseh had made and served him. He did not humble himself for the Lord, as father Manasseh had humbled himself. And Amnon incurred more and more guilt. His servants conspired against him and killed him in his house. But the people of the land killed all those who conspired against King Amnon. And the people of the land made his son Josiah king to succeed him. So in other words, Amnon was such a bad king that his own servants got together and assassinated him. And no doubt some of the servants, at least one of them, thought, I'll be next in line. But instead, the people were so outraged that the king had been murdered, they rounded up all the conspirators and killed them, and they made Josiah king. Now listen to this. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Okay. How old is Levi today? He will be 9. He's 8 right now. Could you imagine having Levi at the White House with the nuclear code? It'd be bad, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be good. Yes. Live in Jurassic World. They put an 8-year-old king on the throne. How's this going to work out? Now, interestingly, if you go back further, there was another king who was very young, a king by the name of Joash. And Joash actually did very well at first. He had a high priest who was kind of like his tutor and mentor. And at first, they did really well. But when the high priest died, the wheels came off the wagon, and Joash got himself in all sorts of sin and craziness. It's kind of like how in high school world, I see some students do really well in high school, and then they go off to college, and then they're just a total disaster. Because without mom and dad there keep them in line, they were in trouble. They never had it internalized of, I got to get up in the morning, go to school, got to do my schoolwork. I don't need to be doing this craziness. I don't need to be saying no to drugs and alcohol. I don't need to be running around him or running around with her. They didn't have mom and dad to tell them not to do that craziness. And once they left, they got in that mess and made a mess out of their lives. And that's why I've always said with high school kids, you never know what's going to happen. I've seen some who are a mess in high school and they pulled together afterwards. I've seen others who done really well in high school and they fell apart afterwards. You never know. Well, what about Josiah here? It said that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still a boy, he began to seek the God of his ancestor, David. Now, God promised those who seek me will find me when they seek me with their whole heart. And then in the 12th year of his reign, he starts going through and destroying these idols, these shrines and such that his father Amnon has set up throughout the kingdom. I mean, he's going to town. He even digs up bones. Remember that song, Ran Traps, digging up bones? There's been things better left alone. He even dug up the bones of these false priests and had them burned. He didn't want anything to do with paganism in the territory. And then he gathered some guys up, a bit of a charge, and gave them charge of the house of the Lord, the temple. Why? They gave to the carpenters and builders to buy quarry stone and timber for binders, and the beams of the building that the kings of Judah had let to go to ruin. In other words, throughout the years, the temple, the physical building, had not been taken care of and was falling apart. You know, I shared with you all a few weeks ago about how I was looking at a house in Calhoun, had an inspection done. Remember that? And it wasn't good because the roof's about gone, sides of the fall off. And I asked what's going on that floor. He looked underneath and said there had been a water leak and it has destroyed that middle beam. This house is literally sinking in like that. It was falling apart. That was what was going on with the temple that King Solomon had built so many years earlier. It had not been maintained, had not been kept care of, and it was falling apart. And so they got busy taking care of it. And so you ever watch those shows on TLC, they go in, they start fixing the house up. That's what's going on. They're fixing up the temple. And then they find something. And I was curious this morning. I was doing a little research because I've heard some of these stories, and I just want to kind of nail it down a little bit. But what can you find when you're just digging around? And one I didn't know about until this morning was in about the 2010s. A gentleman went to a yard sale and for $45 bought some glass plates like you use for photography. Got looking at them, took them to the experts, and they said, these are Ansel Adams glass plates. He was the famous photographer of the national parks. Did these beautiful black and white photos. These are the originals. They're worth millions of dollars. Back in 2010, a lady was up in the attic, and there was a bunch of stack of 1930s Natural Geographics, and she was cleaning house. And underneath that stack of Natural Geographics was an early copy of the Gettysburg Address. Nobody knows how it got there. It was just lying there and been stacked up with Natural Geographics. 2010. And then my personal favorite, 1991, a gentleman went to a yard sale, bought a $4 painting. And then he was wanting to change the frame out, so he opened it up. And behind the painting, there was a piece of paper that was folded. He unfolded it. And then you can tell that when it had been folded, the ink was still wet on it. He had it checked out. This piece of paper got written out on July 4th, 1776. It was an early copy of the Declaration of Independence. Somebody had it, and for safekeeping, folded it and put behind that painting. And there it was, just hiding. And then this guy buys it for $4. Okay. What did they find? I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And when we read it, it sounds like this is the book of Deuteronomy. They're digging around like, what's this? It's the book of Deuteronomy. It's where Moses is talking to God's people about going to the promised land and God's covenant with them. And so they send word up to the king. King, we have this book. And he reads it out to the king. And when King Josiah hears the words of the law, he tore his clothes. He said, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and Judah. Remember, Israel's no more, right? They've been destroyed by the Syrians. Concerning the words of the book that have been found. For the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us is great, because our ancestors did not keep the word of the Lord to act in accordance with all that's written in this book. And so then they bring to a prophetess named Huldah, and she gets a message saying, King, here's the deal. The kingdom of Judah will indeed be punished for the numerous sins. However, because you humbled yourself and you repented, this punishment will not come during your lifetime. It will come in their time. And so what happened? Josiah opened up the temple, remodeled it, Chapter 35, tossed about but the holy ark and the house King Solomon had built, and they celebrate the Passover. Now, even Josiah, though, was not perfect. In chapter 35, verse 20, it talks about how the king of Egypt, Necho, was coming through the land, and he told King Josiah, "I'm not here to fight with you. I'm just passing through. I'm going to fight someone else." And King Josiah very foolishly decided to go to battle against the king of Egypt. And in doing so, he was hit by an arrow and he died. And it ends by saying, "So his servants took him out of the chariot and carried him in the second chariot and brought him to Jerusalem. There he died and was buried in the tombs of his ancestor. All Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. Jeremiah also uttered a lament for Josiah, and all the singing men and singing women have spoken of Josiah in their laments to this day. They made this a custom in Israel, and they were recorded in laments." Now, that Jeremiah is the prophet Jeremiah, and we'll talk more about him later on. But he wrote a book of laments, not Lamentations, that's a different book. But these are songs he wrote about the death of King Josiah. Because King Josiah was such a godly king, and he knew when Josiah died, that spelled bad news for Jerusalem. So, question: what was the secret to Josiah's success as a young man? Earlier, we read Psalm 119. The last three verses we read were, "I will praise you with upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinance. I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me." And then the next few verses read, "How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you." Or you may have heard like I did, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against God." As a young man, Josiah hid God's word in his heart that he may not sin against God. And as a result, God blessed him. And for that time, the kingdom of Judah, was blessed, was at peace. And my prayer is this morning, just like Josiah, you will not discard the word of God, but you will cherish the word of God and hide in your hearts that you may not sin against God. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right, this time we're about to open your red hymnal to page 120. And Herb's going to come up and lead us in that great song, "Victory in Jesus," page 120.